We have for today. Our headline is about the Microsoft Office app arriving on iPhone. Has been on Android for some time. It's apparently on new Samsungs as well. We have power apps that can read the context from Microsoft Teams. They're about SharePoint site swap and a few updates around there. Let's kick into it.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Welcome back. This is a lovely
Hello.
Monday, Tuesday here in New Zealand.
Yes, it's wonderful. It's rainy and cold here in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. Hello, Daryl. How's the weather in the other hemisphere?
Well, in all seriousness, here in New Zealand, we sort of drought weather. Not getting a lot of rain. Some places it's almost declared an emergency, particularly in farming areas. A lot of brown fields and some with a little not much grass, but as you'd
A little bit of
expect, like with
reverse.
farmers and the like that don't have town water supply, they've got to manage that and tanks and things. So summer. Yeah, sorry to be so dramatic.
No, I asked and you answered. Thank you. So I think we got some interesting updates this week to cover, and there was a one announcement that was made just today that's not in the message center, so I think we should talk about that too. So we've got some I think some interesting conversation we need to have, and helping people understand what's coming into their tenants this week.
I get a little jealous when I hear like you've got something and I haven't got something, and but it sounds like there is something that's talked about in our somethings that neither of us have access to, that something or somethings.
Wow, that's very descriptive, Daryl. Maybe we should just jump into
All right,
it.
was that a heavy hint?
Well,
Updated feature: Power Apps can read context from Microsoft Teams MC204170. And good now to you, all the podcasters as well. I saw this discussed in the community around particularly the groups of people that love to create Power Apps, and you could say joyous jubilation that they're going to have the ability to detect the context of where this app is when it's running in a channel. But have you given much thought to what sort of things will now be possible with that app, Daniel?
I think really for me, and it is about the context, right? It is about who is engaging with this, as well as the look. We talk about the theme of the channel and all, so just that kind of getting more. I think most of us want the apps to be look and feel as if they're part of the team. Right, part of the channel that they're connected to. And I think that's what this is all about, is that experience and that look, getting that context of I'm in this channel, I'm attached to this channel, and who am I, but also what is the experience. And so I think not only does this bring that functionality, starting to bring that, but it also opens up for future updates as well in this area.
Yeah, the I mean, apps are all about automation and picking bits and pieces up from different places to help you either capture information, collect information, get that information across. And sometimes that information is something that you don't really want to have to enter if you're already there, if you know what I mean. I read that one thing was all about detecting your login state. So if you're already signed into Teams, then why do I have to sign into this other thing to be able to use it? So that's a good one to look at. But yeah, I'm just having a quick look here. Well, that's down on the bottom left-hand corner. I think there was. There we go. There's a bunch of contexts and things that can be detected from within the team itself. Gotta say it's like locale, so you can see that you're signed in from certain country IDs. Group IDs, theme. I think you were saying theme and consistent look. So whether you're using dark or light, if you're in dark mode, And then this power app is like this blinding light, like kind of like these key lights that are shining in my eyes, like, you know. On that note, do you dull down your brightness on your screens at work?
I do. Mm-hmm. I have the automatic turned on in Windows, right? It does on the primary monitor, so that's later on in the day.
Mm.
And I do. I'm in dark mode, so it doesn't I don't necessarily have it turned down as far as the monitor, the hardware is concerned.
Mm.
But it is a good idea, actually.
Yeah. No, I was on a customer site with double monitors, and like, oh, actually today I'm feeling kind of sensitive, like my ocular nerves are burning. Right. I think they're set to 100% brightness. Funny that. Dark mode, I guess, would deal with that, but back to theming, it could be sometimes as simple as dialing down your monitors. Little hardware tip for you this morning on Monday, check your monitors right now and dial it down, including mobiles and tablets too, if you're blind in your eyes and watching this stream.
That's right.
Anyway, back to the show. That kind of context is going to be useful for detecting where you are, what channel, who you're signed in as. I guess there'll be some additional things that will be detected. That list will grow eventually and be usable for other things too. But yeah, that will be available. Oh, look at that. Doesn't really say. Inconsistent message, don't you think, Daniel? Don't you think?
Yeah, we talk about consistency, and this message has, it's lacking in quite a bit here, especially in communicating when it's going to be available exactly.
Mm.
It does say they plan to launch at the end of February, but okay, are they going to launch for everyone, or is it just targeted and then going, you know, when does it start to end? You know, we generally get that kind of information so we can gauge the timeline of when we need to communicate with our users and with our developers to start, you know, taking advantage of those.
Yeah. Well, we'll skip on over to our next update. The headline for today, a new feature, the Microsoft Office app available for Android and iOS, MC204208. Look, I honestly, before even looking at this, I thought, it's a combined app. I mean, why would I use it? I've got Word, Excel, and PowerPoint all separate, and I can do Office Lens in various different places already. Why would I use this app? But I know you might have seen in the weekend, I jumped in and had a good look at it. Video, I'll link to the corner and all, but it's actually so much more natural to use it and have it all together, especially when you're launching documents from other applications like Teams, and it just opens up. And I think it's been designed really to help with a smoother experience for capturing information and working with documents on the go when you just need to find something, change something, review something. Yeah.
And the whole signing of documents, I think that was a big one that was touted as this will make it a whole lot. It's supposed to make it easier because it's within the same app. So being able to do that. So I agree with you. It's all about accessing those documents and taking action. I've only used it a little bit, so I don't know if it's going to be easier to, you know, edit documents and such versus the individual ones. I haven't been able to test all of them out yet, but if it is easier to, I mean, if you're on your phone, are you editing Excel and Word documents extensively? I would say no. If you are, I'm so sorry. I hope you get a vacation soon. You may be doing a little bit of it here and there, you know, basically making edits, refinements, oops, I misspelled or whatever. So if it's just finding information, you know, searching and getting those documents and then signing them or making those minor edits, and if it makes all that easier, I'm excited. So
I sometimes challenge myself to do as much as I can off a mobile. And if you got something like this, let's bring that into the camera. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, these apps are really quite capable. The one that my favorite out of it, and they all do still operate the same as this combined Office app, but my favorite still is PowerPoint. Means I can create a story on the go. I can practice my slide deck if I'm on the train and I've got a presentation coming up. Really, really capable.
Yeah.
But I noticed, look, yeah, I mean, aside from the signature thing, that's pretty cool, and that you can save it and reuse it in different places. A lot of focus around capturing and saving things to PDF kind of format. But the one that I think was Jeff Tepa that showed the capture of the table on a piece of paper and turning it into a spreadsheet. During my video, I took a picture of a packing slip here and didn't quite expect it to do what it did. It not only did it capture the text, but it dropped it into a Word document, and it even did that as a table. And I thought, well, that's part of it, isn't it? If you're trying to capture something on the go and you've got your scanner in your pocket as a start to a document, then that's a really good way to get going.
Well, and most of the time, I mean, up to this point, that start of the document has been a PDF, right? Mm. You could use Office Lens very easily to scan and go to a PDF. You could scan to go to Word, but you weren't getting that, just what you're talking about, all the table information exactly, right? But they've been improving on that process in the Office apps, and having it available in this app is a great thing.
Yeah. Alan Taylor's comment from the chat room, like me, it was a bit disappointed. It's only available on the iPhone at the moment in terms of the Apple side of things. Alan, tried to open it up on the iPad, and they just said, look, it's not optimized for that yet. It's one of those.
It's like double sized
sort of thing.
But it'll be interesting to see how people are using, like, on the iPad Pro. Or, you know, some of the bigger screens on the iPads to be able to, again, manipulate, maybe doing a little bit more work than you would on your phone. I would hope it would be that way. I have my own tablet. It's called the Surface. It works great, and it's much more powerful than an iPad.
And the apps kind of work perfectly well as individual apps,
right,
don't they?
Yeah. They do. However,
though, you've got that cool launcher that came out, right? That tile that goes ta-da, and then it opens up Office
ta-da.
Online. Ta-da.
Ta-da.
Yeah. So take a look. It has been out on Android for some time. And I think our first look at it was when it came out in partnership with Samsung onto Galaxy phones. But that's all been updated, so it all was the consistent same experience. Good-o. We have some changes to SharePoint sharing settings, classic sharing settings.
Yeah, this is not changing per se. This is MC204238. And really, this is sharing settings in the modern SharePoint Admin Center. This is making sure that we know this is being rolling out. We're trying to get all of the classic settings into modern. And I guess all the classic settings into the now. I don't know how we're going to position this. I thought we're supposed to stop saying modern, but here we are.
Well,
the title has
Do you have a now workplace instead of modern workplace?
Right. I have a now workplace, a current workplace. Being able to get all of the classic sharing settings on the sharing page and the modern sharing page, so not having to go to that, the more features in the admin center. So that's what this is all about. This is just basically making you aware that that's going to be available there, and I would think we're going to be seeing a whole lot more of this to all, you know, they're wanting to bring in more of those settings that need to continue in the new current SharePoint and OneDrive stuff. I don't know.
It's better to stick with classic and modern.
I know, but and maybe that's why I haven't heard too much more, because they were like, well, maybe
the
this
new
is
now,
not exactly
the old later, the later of the
right.
last
but
the other thing.
Just remember, this is sharing settings for SharePoint and OneDrive, because they go together. So just remember, that's where you're going to find it, is in the SharePoint Admin Center current now version.
But yeah, you're right. There's a current theme. Classic is going to wind up eventually, right? So you've got, like we said a couple of weeks ago, sites that haven't been changed or altered are being moved over to the modern template if you haven't done any customizations on it. And so all things are pointing towards modern.
Current now.
Okay. Yes. We'll set that trend. Yes. Modern is now.
Modern
Daniel's
is now.
New hashtag.
I like that. Hold on. Yep.
Modern is now.
I need to send that out so that people attribute it to me.
Drop it on in there. Hey, I wish this live on YouTube would allow us to do what we can do in Periscope, where you can go, I'm sharing it, and it pushes it out at that point in the live stream. That would be smart. YouTube, if you're listening, of course you're listening because you're Google and you can detect all sorts of stuff. Take this sound bite, drop it in front of your developers, please. Please. I don't want to be doing any user voice stuff. Just, do your Google thing. Okay, Google, fix this.
What did we say? Modern is now.
Modern is now.
I love it.
Modern is the new now. Modern is the new now.
Modern is now. Nope, I'm doing modern is now.
New feature. Insider management for Microsoft 365 Compliance Center. MC204277. As a adoption and change management person, can't say I've spent a lot of time in here, but I did take a look this morning. It's quite an impressive service once I get it. MC204277. It's available for you if you're using E5 licenses, but I think they're still rolling out some things. And I know, Daniel, you've been doing some reading up around this too. What is insider risk management to begin with?
Insider risk management is making sure that you are keeping up to date with people are saying within your organizations. And insider risk is the spillage or the dissemination of information to the wrong parties about what's going on within your company. And I think the big focus, and if you go to the additional information, it brings up the docs.microsoft on this. And I really just went down and trying to go through this of all of that's going to be available. If you look at the policies, it talks about you can set up the the policy templates for the insider risk management. And there are three of them: departing employee data theft. So this is someone who's leaving. They go and grab all of their OneDrive files and all of your SharePoint files and put it
I've worked so hard on that strategy and that approach that, I think that this is mine, so surely I can take a couple of samples with me to my new employer.
Yeah. Data leaks. Right, no. Data leaks. And then offensive language in email. So that makes sense, I guess. I don't know how that's insider risk if someone's using offensive language. But then the next thing we're going to talk about has
HR issues, right?
Is that insider risk? That's definitely not what I.
It's risk to the happy family that our organization is. That you keep on working, stop rocking the boat and being painful.
That's not insider risk. So. What I mean by that is, when we're talking about it here in a moment about communication compliance, it has the same thing about offensive language. So, is that double the coverage, or is that they both just do? I don't know. I'm a little confused by why offensive language in email would be considered insider risk. Maybe those in the chat room or others, maybe hit us up on the Twitters. Or on the socials to let us know what you think about what is insider risk and why are these settings as part of that, not just the offensive language but others. I Teresa says, offensive language is a risk in the form of a lawsuit. I totally agree. And that's why communication compliance has it, I believe, which is what we're about to talk about. But it is an insider risk. Insider risk is things like, I know we're about to be bought. And
Insider trading kind of thing.
Yeah, stuff like, I mean, not just insider trading, but I'm just, that's what I equate it to. And maybe my gauge is off. And so I 100% own that. Maybe I'm just thinking of this in a different way, in the wrong way. So,
well, the origins of this service from the video I watched this morning, it was Microsoft solving a problem internally to say, look, they've got thousands and thousands of signals across hundreds of thousands of SharePoint sites and places that people work, that you need machine learning to be able to help you get on top of this. It's not just something that's you can't just comb through things anymore. And I think this is the thing that as we're working in the cloud, some organizations are struggling with as well. I don't have the same tools and the same ability to look in to see certain things. You know, and then on the other side of it, you got people that go, well, no one's ever going to look at this, right? But it's machine learning that helps to identify these patterns against a policy and say, someone's been a bit of a bully here in the workplace. Or I looked that someone's just given their notice and there's a few signals going on there that they're starting to download a whole lot of documents. So we better throw an alert up there or even take an action and warn something there.
And I agree, the signals, yes, awesome. I'm not putting down the need for having those signals, because we have way too much of those inputs, way too many of those inputs for us to really as humans take in all of that and put it together in real time. And so we create these rules and these policies to say, if, you know, this is happening, alert us, because that means something's going on, right? Someone downloads a bunch of stuff and then their account gets disabled. You know, maybe we need to look at that, because they just walked out with, you know, thousands of documents. I totally get it. And I think just for me, I want to know the difference and the communication policy, and I keep talking about that communication compliance. Mm-hmm. It's really about offensive language is like the first one for that. And then we've got offensive language here. So that's where I'm just confused as to, is there just overlap, or, you know, if offensive language is being used, am I going to see that on the insider risk side or compliance or communication, or is it going to be both? I'm just a little confused on that, but anyway.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's something can be managed out of two locations. Well,
right, and I think we just need to also point out that we, for these two, and we'll start here, that you need to be given the appropriate roles before you can even use this technology.
Well, I've got that on screen, which, like I said, I tried to do that this morning for myself, and it was a little confusing. So getting to the security center and the compliance center, you can go to this landing page, but then you can thinking and keeping in mind that there's a new home for that. So I click on through to security center. I had to add insider risk from the catalog, so it's something I could actually have a look at and use. Once I got into there and opening the solution, you can see the requirements there are E5 license, et cetera, et cetera. And then then I got into trying to look at it. And thought, hang on, you don't have the right role. Okay. So getting started with step one, enable the permissions for your insider risk management. So there are a few roles there. If you want to lump everyone to the same role, then there's insider risk management, or you can branch it out to admins, analysts, and investigators. But again,
so go back,
where do I
go
manage
back
that?
One, whoa, go whoa, back yeah. to the screen before.
This one.
Oh, the one that showed the communication. It showed
the home.
And maybe
and
this,
showing...
this. No. Maybe this is where I'm missing this. And and Phil kind of brought it up, but it brought it to mind, is that communication compliance is part of insider risk
right
management. Yep. Right. So that makes complete sense as to what I was talking about before of I don't understand why they both would include that. Well, it's because insider risk includes the communication compliance. And that makes 100% sense now that I just realized that. And thank you very much, everyone, for joining us on this week of Daniel's Confused.
And our special weekly segment of Daniel is Confused.
Wait, hey now. That's not every week. It's just
Everyone's is confused. Yeah, we've got to have a jingle for that one. You won't find these permission roles in where I thought it was. It's not going to the Office 365 Admin Center and assigning your permissions there for this particular role. You need to go into the permission center and assign that role. I only got this far before we went live. So I'm not going to complain, claim to be an expert, but let's keep moving on with other stuff. And similar kind of discussion around new feature for communication compliance in the Microsoft 365 Compliance Center, MC 204280, and that's generally available. So what are you saying? Like the insider risk is part of this, or they work together to bring a focus on risk,
Right.
whether it be communication or files.
Right. So the general category is insider risk management. And I think that is for me, when I saw insider, I was like, oh, that more equates with like stock rules and those, but it's not. It's more what Teresa was saying in the chat. It's about people inside being a risk and communication compliance now being part of that, right? And what that would entail. Did you give the code number for okay? And so for this one, it is about a sub part of that, and it's communication, and it's talking about all of the communication across. So it includes Teams and email and such about, things that could be. It's offensive language and anti-harassment. Those are very, those will open you up for lawsuits, but sensitive information. So you can put in keywords and making sure that, things are not being talked about that are code word or whatever, privacy, regulatory compliance. So this is financial regulatory compliance. Those standard terms that are regulatory terms that you want to make sure, what are people saying about this? I think what's called out in these articles for both of these, but what's called out is this thought of making sure that there is a admins are not just going and looking at everybody's emails and Teams conversations but just because these policies are in place. There is security involved here, and that's why global administrators do not have access to, for instance, the communication compliance features. It just because you're a global admin does not mean you have rights. So to enable those permissions, you have to make that communication compliance available. And how you do that is you have to enable permissions. So you have to go in, and what Daryl was talking about is setting up those, permissions for the supervisory review administrator. So that you have to do that. But then you also have to enable the Office 365 audit log. But it is not like just because a global administrator, just because someone is a global administrator does not mean they're going to be able to see these, the log or the items coming up for the communication compliance, which is a good thing. And hopefully it gives people a little bit of comfort that, they're not just sit there reading everything that's going on.
Which, yeah, I mean, the point that Microsoft video made was you literally can't. There's just too much going on. It's got to be a very loud and clear signal with people saying a few things about it and pointing towards you. Phil pointed out that our very own security compliance guru, which you interviewed recently, Joanne Klein, has walked through the Communication Compliance Center. So do check out that article,
Yes.
because Joanne definitely makes it
She just
accessible.
released that. Yes. And she just released that blog, I don't know, less than a week
February we've
ago, I
got here.
think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Awesome. Back to our last message, which is an update to the feature about SharePoint site swap 204 MC 204 488. So gradually enabling us to swap out the SharePoint root site with another site. I didn't know
This
that it
is,
was limited to
yeah,
less than
they
10,000
had
to begin
two
with.
layers. Yeah, they had two layers of limitation. First was, I think, 1,000 and then 10,000. And now it's this is the Oprah announcement. This is what I call this announcement, everyone.
Everybody
So,
gets.
you get a site swap. You get a site swap. Everybody gets a site swap.
Yeah, and
It's
it's underneath your chair, and you can take it home
yes.
with you and just, care
Right.
for it and
So it's now available for everyone, is the way I'm reading this, because it says organizations that have 10,000 or more users can do it, can have it. Previously, everybody below 10,000 has been able to use it. So, yeah.
Enjoy. I'm looking forward to
And
seeing it.
that's beginning mid-March 2020, is what it says for those that are over 10,000 users.
Why do you think that limit's there?
I have a, well, I have my guesses, and they're really that.
And
But
you've
I think,
stated that it's a guess, so feel free to share that
yeah, I
guess with
think some
us.
of it has to do with the actual where the tenants are located, because they're so big. I think maybe that has to do with it. And as well as, I think they wanted to test it. So would you rather make someone mad that has 100,000 users or someone that has 1,000? I think we want the 1,000 to be mad, if we have to choose, that is. I think they when you do that swap, there's a lot of things that are going into play, right? There's some redirects, there's some, links and all this. And I think they just wanted it to do it on lower volume users to make sure that it worked and could work for higher volume.
Yeah.
Best
Well,
guess.
that's us for the week.
Wait.
Was it what? No, wait. What was what?
There's one more.
One more.
So just announced this morning, Mark Cashman announced that Mover, which is the software that Microsoft bought that allowed you to move from various software platforms into OneDrive and SharePoint, Mover migration is now available worldwide. So that is on the tech community blog for SharePoint. And it is available, it says, for now available to Microsoft 365 customers worldwide. So wanted to highlight that we knew it was coming. I mean, they bought the product, we knew it was going to happen. But in addition to the SharePoint migration tool that we have, that is for on-prem to cloud, now we have this cloud capability of moving from, competitive products into Office 365.
There it is. There it is. Check out the blog post. 3 hours ago from Mark Cashman.
Yes. Yep.
It's funny, I saw this news during the weekend, so it must have been announced somewhere else as well.
Yeah, I think, we knew this was coming. This is not a shocker. Oh my goodness, this is just that now that it's available for worldwide. Now, I will say the blog post is great in announcing it, but it doesn't give a whole lot of details on how to get started, to be honest.
How to
And
get
there's
moving
no
with Mover.
click. Ha 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 ha. That was good.
Click here. In fact, no, I'm waiting for it to be called Microsoft Mover. Just it, I'm sure the alliteration's coming in there somewhere. Eventually. Mover for business?
Oh,
No.
man. Anyway.
That's good news. Well, thanks to everyone who joined us. Thanks to those who tuned in on the podcast. You know where to find us. Thanks again. Bye for now.
Bye.